I think it added something that the dragon could talk, because the kind of cat and mouse that was going on when Elodie was like trying to survive, when the dragon would talk and be like, oh, where are you, little bird? Mm-hmm. Like her calling, like giving her a nickname, little bird. I was just like, it's interesting. It's not exactly sinister, but it's like it gives like an extra amount of fear to Elodie because she's like talking
she can't
to her.
Talk.
She's
no.
like playing with her.
Asians, Africans, Spanish people use Maggi. Well, we call it Maggi, but the one we buy is called Core.
Mm-hmm.
But because since I was little, my mom called it Maggi because she used to buy the Maggi brand.
Mm-hmm.
But they're basically the bouillon cubes. You can get beef, chicken, and some other flavor. But the chicken one, the green case, is what we usually get. And it's called Core, but it's bouillon, chicken bouillon.
Okay.
I just keep calling it Maggie because that's what I've been growing up doing. I know the powder when I see it. It's either a cube or a powder. But I just add some of that to it because I was like, this meat needs some flavor. I'm not Irish. I need flavor.
What's up, you guys?
Hey, everybody. How y'all doing? What's up? What's up? Your girl, Triple F Queen Bola.
No tagline, Whitney here.
And we are Triple F. Oh, wow. And we are, what are we, Whitney?
We are Blur Talk with Bola and Whitney.
I can't talk today. I don't know what it is. How y'all doing? It's March. March is marching on. We about
March
to be
on.
Ending.
It's about to be the end of March. And we couldn't let it pass without some women's history kind of acknowledging things. I mean,
right.
This isn't an actual history thing that we're doing.
But it's still about women and
women.
Girl power stuff. So
girl power.
We need support.
That's right.
And we need to represent as women ourselves,
exactly.
Right?
So we doing Damsel today,
yes,
guys.
We are, guys. Our episode is on the Netflix movie Damsel, starring Millie Bobby Brown.
Yeah, girl.
And yeah, we're going to talk about it. But
gonna talk
don't you feel like March is just, like, time is just going by, like, super fast?
Time goes by.
No.
So, okay, yeah.
Unless you're going to say super fastly, which is not a word. Because I was like, I know the end of that line, and I'm like, I'm talking about it's going too fast. But I got you, Whitney. I understand where you're going. Can we say time goes by so fastly? No, it just doesn't sound good.
I don't
good.
Think that's grammatically correct.
It's not. I was just trying to make it work because you can't make it work that way. We can't turn faster into an adverb. Anyway. Right? Right, so we're going to get into blurting out now, but March is marching on, y'all.
Marching on.
And spring has sprung.
April. You know what? You guys, I don't know. You know what? No, it wasn't on a podcast episode. It was during a car ride with me and Bola. We were talking about Easter, and I was like, I don't understand Easter falls, because sometimes it's in March, sometimes it's in April. I actually looked it up. So it is based on the vernant moon, the vernant full moon. So it is the first full moon after the spring equinox.
Oh my God, that sounds like a lot.
So it's the Sunday after the first full moon after the Easter equinox, which is why it's sometimes in March and sometimes it's in April.
Oh my God, because it's so weird. Because I was like, how come I can't never nail down when Easter is? I took astronomy like one time. But I mean, and sometimes I get into zodiacs and stuff, but I'm like, I'm not. I don't understand. I'm sorry. But I feel like I put them together because they're based off the constellations, which you're right. Astrology is totally different because they're based off of astronomy, which is about the constellations anyway. But
well, I don't know if the astronomy is based off the constellations.
No. Astrology. The astrological signs are based off of the constellations.
Yeah.
So I made the connection.
Just, stars.
But astrology is totally different. You're right. You called me on. You're right. But I was just like, I don't know about the equinoxes. I don't know when they fall. I mean, I know there's something coming. A solstice coming
first, I think. No, the solstice is summer. Summer and winter.
Okay,
are
so
solstices.
There's an equinox. There's an equinox coming, and then people were trying to get
solstices
glasses
and equinoxes. So the equinoxes are spring and autumn, and the solstices are winter and summer.
Thank God somebody paid attention in astronomy class, because I mean we were in the same class.
No, I paid attention to like Xena Warrior Princess, because they were about like
the solstices. Were teaching that? Okay.
No, there was the episode that were like, they weren't Christmas episodes, but they were like the winter solstice episodes, because Christmas, they actually based the date of Christmas kind of around the winter solstice.
Oh, wow. I did not. See, you know what? And you still haven't seen the whole series. I don't understand. I watched the whole series and I didn't even remember none of that.
At some point, I am going to finish Xena, but it's just going to be heartbreaking.
It's been over for like over a decade. Anyway, what I was saying was, I know there's an eclipse or something happening soon, because I remember they were talking about on TV that you can watch it, you can buy your eclipse glasses or something that was going on like soon.
Oh.
But I'm like, I never know when these things are. I never like watched the eclipse. I don't know about equinoxes and stuff. I'm like, how about to know?
Before. It's really cool looking.
I'm sure it is. I know. I don't know where you can go to look at it though. Probably some mountain ranger.
No, girl, you just have to have a view of the moon or the sun. Which one is being eclipsed? The sun or the moon?
That's a good point. Let's move on from this, because I sound more dumb. The more we talk about this, I sound so like, they're like, this is not your topic. I'm like, it's not. I don't understand all the moon stuff. I don't. Sailor Moon, that's all I understand.
Like, evil by moonlight.
Oh my God.
Winning up by daylight. Never running from a real fight. She is the one named Sailor Moon.
She is the one. Sailor Moon. All right, so never let's get that. Into. I know I can never.
And the Pokemon song, like these, like you know, old. We school, can like them, you, we go, they just stay in your brain forever.
If we go too far back, we're gonna be stuck there, because there's so many like songs. That's why I was like, let's not even go, because you're right. The Pokemon one, the Digimon one. I was like, we can see. I already started it. See, you can do it forever. And I'm like, let's not. All right, so we're gonna blur it out now, guys. Let's blur it out. Blur it out. You know what's so funny? I actually heard on the Sirius XM, like that song came on, and I haven't heard the rollout song in so long. I was like, dang. Wow. And then I heard the lyrics. I was like, ooh, what was I listening to back then? Ludacris saying a lot. I was like, But then I was still like, bum, bum, bum. But I was still
jamming. You ever listen to these lyrics? You just bobbing your head.
I realized as an adult, I never listen. And then when you're a kid, you just don't. You're just like, oh, it's a like my sister was getting on. My nieces came over this weekend. Mm-hmm. And they helped her with her arranging her room and stuff. Mm-hmm. And they were listening to TikTok music and stuff. And one of the songs was like, we're taking you to Pound Town. Oh. Pound Town. And I was like, my niece is only 8 or 9. Sorry, niecey, but I think she's 8 or 9. I'm not sure. I can't remember. I think she is 9. But she was like, that thing was playing on her phone. And I know the little girl doesn't know what Pound Town means. But me and my sister are like, you don't know what that means. It's something nasty. You need to. She's like, but it's a TikTok song. I don't know what Pound Town. And I was like, this is the problem.
Please stop saying it.
I know. I was like, oh, God. And it was like, I was just getting flashbacks. And then, you know, all the stuff that's been going on with the Nickelodeon documentary about the kids and everything.
Oh, I saw that on Max. I haven't watched it, but I was like, I don't think I want to watch it.
It's gonna tank the time. It's gonna tank that time period, because I loved all the Nickelodeon shows back then, and I'm like, I can't go back to find out that, especially Drake and Josh. I loved Drake and Josh, and I loved Drake. Oh God, I love Drake. Josh was super funny to me, but I was like, Drake is beautiful. And so I had a mad crush on Drake back in the day. So to find out that he was like sexually assaulted multiple times as a 15-year-old by a man that worked to help him with his dialogues and stuff.
Oh my God.
It's disgusting. It's so disgusting. I feel heartbreaking. It's just, ugh. There were like 3 predators that worked in the children's department that time. So multiple children were abused that worked in Nickelodeon multiple times. And I was just like, this is not, I can't. I felt so bad for Drake. And then the problem, you know, he had that case that came up against him too. But you could see where this thing happening to him can make him do something, because he's all messed up, you know. This stuff was happening to him as a 15, 14-year-old kid.
Yeah.
It's just after a fact, I can't go back to all that kids, finding out the black kids were like, not well taken care of or treated well or doing stuff. They made them do stuff that they were very uncomfortable with.
Oh.
I was like, I can't go back. I can't. And they're like, it's funny. And like, no. And I was like, literally watching one of the black kids were like, I don't like this. He was saying it. And he was talking about how he literally didn't like this. Mm-hmm. And no one was hearing him. And they were just like, it's funny. And I was like, I would hate this too.
Yeah.
It was like a sketch where he had to do like a dare or something. They had some double dare thing. Mm-hmm. So people had to have all this weird stuff happen to him. So they covered his body in peanut butter and sick dogs on him. The dogs were just licking and biting him and everything.
Oh.
And I remember stuff like this watching it during that time. But then seeing the adult that's like our age talking about how he hated it so much and he was telling them, this isn't funny. This I don't like this. And he's saying, and then they showed the clip where he's like saying, I didn't like this. And I was like, oh my God, I can't go back. Cause I was like, oh yeah, I was laughing at all these scenes and these things, but you have to go back and be like, who was okaying this stuff?
Yeah.
They didn't care. They didn't feel seen. They didn't feel like they're like, oh yeah, the white kids got what they wanted. Or I just, all the issues, I was like, I can't go back. So our friend Asia who watched it, she said that she was like, yeah, I watched this, and she said, I'm not gonna lie to you, it was a little too much for me. Because we all loved our Nickelodeon back then.
Yeah.
Anyway, but Whitney, what are you blurring out about? Let's get into that. So, okay. I don't know how I got down this rabbit. Oh, it was because we were talking about theme songs, and I was talking about the past.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we know all the theme songs from all that, and Keenan and Kel, and we know all of them. And it made me think of the Nickelodeon documentary.
Gotcha.
Yeah. What are you blurring out about?
So, a few things.
Okay.
Nah, a couple things, really. So I ended up going to watch Madam Web in the theaters.
Tell us about it, because, you know, mad people are like, talk.
They didn't like a lot of people like trashed it. It was like, it wasn't like one of the best superhero movies ever, but I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed it. I thought it had like a nice.
Was it better than the Marvels, or was it like the Marvels?
It was very different than the Marvels. Mm-hmm. I think The Marvels was more fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I liked the Marvels more, but the Madam Web, I like their ending had more of a kind of an emotional kind of resonance.
Mm.
And I think that's something that, you know, a lot of kind of the superhero movies can sometimes be missing. Because you think about stuff like the original X-Men movies.
Mm.
The thing that was like kind of cool about them was it was kind of also a kind of a metaphor for like racism, anti-Semitism, stuff like that. Because the mutants are
still happening today.
Yeah. And they're like the mutants, and they don't want the mutants in the world. And they're in this world that doesn't want them, but they're still helping the people in it.
Right.
And it was just really great because there's underlying themes, you know?
Yeah.
It's about more than just like saving the superhero thing is just the wrapping. It's not what it's really about.
So you felt that from Madam Web?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I really like stuff that has like the whole familial thing. Like, you know what? I also saw Imaginary. I went to see it with my brother, which is a horror movie. And I liked it because it also kind of had like a similar type of thing with like the kind of familial bond thing.
Mm.
Where it really resonates with me when I see these movies where it's like a mother protecting her children or a father protecting his kids and they like sacrifice to make that happen.
Well, that makes sense because you're very family oriented.
But those just really, really touch me. Any of the Cold Case, like I love the TV show Cold Case and they've got it on Max now. Any of the episodes where it's like the parent was just doing all they could to try for their kids. It's just like, those are the ones I tear up on. But it's interesting because like, that's what touched me about Madam Web. There was like something else there.
It was an emotional pull.
Yeah, something deeper than just like the, you know, fighting evil.
Yeah, it was no Black Adam. Where it was just fighting for no reason and graphics for no reason.
Right. So I like
no
that.
Emotional draw at all.
And just to circle back around to Imaginary, like that one was about this woman who's like, she's a black woman and she's taking care of these, like a teenager and a little girl, and they're white, and she's like a stepmom, and their mother had like mental health issues. I think was like schizophrenic or something. But it really, these type of movies just really touch me, and it also made me think of, have you ever seen that commercial? It was like within the last few years. It's a Publix commercial, but it's this guy and this little girl, and it's throughout the little girl's life, and it's like, he gives her a gift, and she's like, oh, thanks. Let's call him like Dan. She's like, oh, thanks, Dan. And then it's just like all throughout her life, like this is her stepfather. And like he's helping her with the homework. He's like, good job. She's like, oh, thanks, Dan, blah, blah, blah. And all throughout the commercial, it's like doing stuff. And she's like, thanks, Dan. And then it's like the wedding day. Hmm. And
she was saying Dad.
No, like I'm saying Dan is just made up. Hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know what the name she was saying was. I can't remember. And then on her wedding day, she's sitting in the chair and the stepfather comes in and he's like, you look beautiful. And then she turns around in the chair and she says, thanks, Dad. Mm. And he tears up and I teared up.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. I feel like I definitely seen the commercial and I really liked it.
Yeah.
So
it was just those type of commercials where it just touches you. You're like, oh, yeah. Oh.
They use it for a reason. That thing works.
But okay. It does. Like that type of thing. And it's like kind of a similar thing happened in Imaginary. It's like the father of the husband of the and the father of the kids is like, yeah, that's what being a parent is. You do your best. You love them with all you have. Sometimes you don't get shit back. He's like, but sometimes you do in ways you don't expect.
Right.
And it was just like, I don't know. Stories like that just really touch me. So I like I'll also say, like, Imaginary was pretty good. Mm. So I like that. And Madam Web, I really liked. Mm-hmm. I would put it ahead of Aquaman 2.
Okay, see, that's, well, it's Marvel, so they I are going to be put better it, than and like DC I said, with everything.
Yeah.
My opinion.
I wouldn't put it ahead of the Marvels, because I don't know, something about the Marvels was just so fun. I really enjoyed it, and like, you know, you're just really, you've seen all of these characters before, so you invested in them. Mm. Unlike Black Adam, where they throw these characters in and then one of them dies and you're like, well, I didn't even know who you were, dude.
Right. You don't care at all.
You had no emotional connection to that character.
Pierce Brosnan died. That's what you're like. That's it. The helmet guy. Yeah, okay.
Exactly. So, like, Madam, like, I don't know. I just really liked the Marvels. It was really fun. It was cool. It was enjoyable. It had characters you loved. Madam Web had a underlying theme that I just really...
But not characters you loved? You didn't love the characters? Or it was just the theme that spoke more to you?
It was the theme that spoke more to me. Okay, like, I wasn't super in love with any of the characters, like, to a great degree.
Okay.
So it's kind of the opposite of the Marvels.
Mm.
Where, like, I'm sure as, like, if they decided to make more movies with them, there would be more time. Because it's like, this is around a situation where this dude's coming after these three girls. And right. This woman has, like... precognition. But no, I wasn't particularly in love with any of the characters, but I liked the underlying theme.
And Aquaman, that would be my problem, because I really need to connect with the characters so much. And I guess that's why I hated Black Adam so much, because I was trying to connect with some character in this, and I was like, nah. And by the time you got to the storyline of his background, it came so late that I was just like, well, I still don't care because he was an asshole in the beginning.
Yeah, I feel like I need to have one or the other. I
like both, actually.
I like both, but a movie can be great with one or the other. So you can either have like a really great plot, or you can have really great characterization, or both.
Hmm.
Like I remember like the TV series like Walking Dead. Like I know that a lot of people, like, I don't know how they're doing now, but people would say, because, you know, a lot of people used to recommend The Walking Dead, like, it's such a great series. And it's like, it's really about the characters and the setting with the zombie apocalypse. It's just kind of the wrapping. It's the setting, but it's really about the characters. And that's what made it great.
Watching that new part? There's like a spinoff that has a Danai Gurira. Are you watching that?
Okay. Because I stopped watching Walking Dead a while ago.
Okay, so you're now not caught up.
I might go back and, well, not might. I'm sure at some point I'll go back and watch so I can catch up, because I want to know, you know how I am. I'm OCD about watching stuff and not stepping into the middle.
I got you.
I am going to watch it because I love Danai Gurira. Love her. And Michonne was like one of my two favorite characters in Walking Dead. It was her and it was Daryl were my two favorite characters.
Okay. So I just know that she was doing something. I saw her on the Daily Show. And I was like, oh, there's a spinoff show? Okay.
Yeah.
And she's like she directed some of it too, or produced it or something. Yeah.
Go tonight.
She wearing the hats.
She is awesome. She's just awesome, period. Anytime she's in something, she's awesome. Because she was also part of the reason why Black Panther was so awesome.
Right. And I would love it if they were to make...
like a spinoff just based on her?
I would love Okoye, the series. Like, that would I really want to awesome. Get the and I really want to get the book. I think it's a graphic novel.
Hmm.
There's a graphic novel, or it's just a book that has more graphics in it. I just can't remember, but I remember seeing the Okoye book, and I know there was pictures in it, but I just don't know if it was the whole thing. So I want to say it's a graphic novel, but I can't remember. But I know there is an Okoye like novel book, and I was like, I wanted to get this, and I just didn't get it at that time. Anyway, so okay, so you're blurting out about Madam Web and Imaginary, and what else?
My last thing is something I actually just watched last night. And I forgot how I, you know how like Google will just show you articles on the side of your phone if you scroll to it based off stuff you like. Somehow I read an article that happened to say something about Swiss Army Man, which is on Max. I had not heard of it either, but it is apparently the first directorial debut of the Daniels. And you guys might know the Daniels because of Everything Everywhere All at Once. And now that I know it's the Daniels, I could see how this is them because Everything Everywhere All at Once is super weird, but it's awesome.
But this is the same?
This is super weird. Super weird. It's about this guy, Paul Dano, is the actor who plays him. And he's trapped on this like deserted island. So it's taking like Castaway, but instead of like the volleyball and Wilson, it's a dead guy.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about. That
with Daniel Radcliffe, too.
Daniel Radcliffe's
the dead guy. Oh, the dead guy, yeah. And it's hilarious because, it's weird because the dead guy, he uses him to escape the deserted island because the dead guy has, like, these powers. One of them being his, like, farts can propel him, so he, like, rides his body up.
This is such a boy. I know two boys made this. Only they would make something shitty like that, where it's literally shitty. Oh my god, farts being like a motor propeller. Too. Yeah, oh my
so
gosh,
he rides the body out.
How is a dead body farting though? Like I need some math.
They say that
some
when
science.
You die, like you know the
gases. Yeah, still being released.
But oh then, my god. Like, so he rides it like the dead body off of the dead island. I mean, off of the deserted island. And then when he gets to like a landmass that like looks like it's probably close to civilization, like it has other. The dead body has other. So like he's trying to get water and he has like a little cup that he sets out because he finds this place with like all of these like this trash. So he's probably close to civilization, but it's not much useful there. So he finds like a little red solo cup and he sets it out because he's in the cave and he drags the dead body with him because he's like, you saved me. I'm going to take you with me. So he's got like the body on his back
because
he feels bad about leaving it just out there on the beach.
So is this movie just Paul Dano and Daniel Radcliffe's dead body?
For most of the movie.
Oh
the
my
vast
goodness,
majority.
I can't.
But like his little cup doesn't collect enough water. But then like during the night, you see he's like the dead body is set with like his like on his back and water's dripping into his mouth. And then the guy, like when Paul Dano's character wakes up, like there's not really any water. I think the cup tipped over or something and he doesn't have any water. But then he like, I think he like hits the or falls on or something, Daniel Radcliffe's body and water comes out of his mouth. And if he pushes on his stomach, water comes out of the body's mouth.
Oh my god.
But it's drinkable water.
Oh my
so
god.
That's why it's called like Swiss Army Man, because the body does
oh my
all
god.
Of this different
stuff.
This
is such
stuff.
A guy thing. Like only a guy would think about this. Like I can't. Like the it's idea, the audacity of it is so ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, but in the same way that Everything Everywhere All at Once was ridiculous, it's actually rather touching.
I guess,
at the
I
end.
Bet, I bet it is, but I'm already
at
done
the end,
with the
I'm just
premise.
Like,
the premise alone, I'm like, ah.
You really should watch it, though, because it's super weird. It's like, what in the world? Why?
With Everything Everywhere All at Once, their premise was very interesting to me. It was weird. I'm not going to lie, the movie's weird.
And I mean, the body does start talking to him at some point, but he's got to like, he's got it's almost like a child, like it doesn't know anything. It doesn't remember who he was or anything. So like Paul Dano's character is telling him about basically being a person, being human and stuff.
Oh
and he's
my
like,
God, I can't.
But it's interesting. And it's just like by the end of the movie, it's actually rather touching.
Oh, wow. I can see it. I can see it being, especially if the Daniels did it.
Yeah, but it's just like, oh, I'm watching this movie and I'm like, what in the world? And I'm watching.
What
but
were they on that they did this film? Anyway, all right. So but it's called, highly, what is it called again?
It is called Swiss Army Man. It stars Paul Dano and Daniel Radcliffe.
So the man is the Swiss Army like thing. Oh, God, get it. Oh, man.
But it is just, it's got an emotional, it's laughable, but then it's got that emotional thing in the same way, like, you know, Everything Everywhere All at Once was like super weird. Like, it was so weird that I didn't know if my mom would like it. But then by the end, you're like, this is really like touching.
Did your mom like it?
She didn't like it. I can't remember if she said she liked it. She said she was glad she saw it. So I don't know if that equates to liking, but she said she was glad that she watched it.
I guess so, because I would never say that about something I didn't really enjoy. I would be like, I took that thing off so quick. Yeah,
but I remember, like, you know, Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Is it ridiculous and moving like Barbie was?
Very different.
In a different way?
Very different. Barbie was made by a woman, and these were made by men. So you could probably see that, but it is touching.
Okay. You know how Ken was, like, super ridiculous, but... He was like, honestly, I could, even though I feel like they robbed Margot Robbie, Ken kind of shone the brightest.
He really did steal the show
in the movie. And I was like, I watched Barbie again for Ken.
Right?
Because he was so cute and ridiculous. Right? I felt bad for him so bad, but I loved Ken.
They must have sold so many of those freaking, like, hoodies. I am Ken.
Oh my gosh. In Sunday school today, a little girl was wearing a Barbie shirt today. And I keep seeing the Ken Up shirts. I wanted one. Anyway. All right, ready to, are you blurring
out? That was it. Those were my blurred outs. But I highly recommend, like, check out Swiss Army Man. Super weird, but it's like a worthy watch. Bola, you need to watch it and tell me what you think.
All right, I'll have to think about it. Because I can already tell. And I usually don't like movies about deserted islands. She doesn't know this about me, but I don't know why. I watched Castaway, but it's like a fear. I hate the idea of... And it's because they made me read Lord of the Flies, and that book was traumatizing to me. I hated reading it. It was like, it made me afraid, and so it just gave me fear about deserted island stuff. Because it's just like, oh, you go crazy and you're killing your friends and you're eating your person. And I just was like, thank God I never watched the Lord of the Flies film. My sister was like, it was so disturbing. So, like, I have an issue with things about deserted islands. I don't know why. It was just like, but I did watch Castaway, and I did enjoy it. I loved Castaway.
I love Castaway.
But so I'm just like, oh my God, deserted island stuff. I can't do it. But okay, but I know. But I might check it out.
You should.
So I'm blurting out about a few things. I'm gonna try and keep it short so we can get to the crux of the show.
The pièce de résistance.
Yes, the pièce de résistance.
supermarché.
I am blurting out about a new anime that I watched. So I've been seeing, you know how your phone, like, suggests things just because you looked at one show or one whatever. And you know how if you go on your Google Chrome, it will, like, start saying some stuff. Like, oh, this shoujo, the top 10 shoujo animes to watch. Or, you know, those kind of suggestions
like
that pop up from
like
news.
An article?
An article. That's how I found out about it. So there was this one anime that popped up, and I kept seeing clips or things about it everywhere. And I was just like, oh, this looks interesting. And it's called A Sign of Affection. And everybody knows, well, not everybody, but if y'all don't know already, I've been more into... I am a girl, but so I like the shoujo animes when they're not super crazy, like too much girl curly, happy, crazy zaniness. I don't like that. Where they're like, I don't like that. But I like when they do the slice of life and it's like super sweet, super emotional. And it's always about the subtlety things. Like the romance is like natural flow. And they always do the slice of life. It's like everyday life stuff. I love the slice of life animes. And people are always like, no, they're slow. And I'm like, no, but I like them so much because they draw you in. They create this emotional coziness to me that just like the other stuff appeals to you. It just appeals to me so much because they'll do these romances and nothing sexual happens or nothing crazy happens. But it's just these light moments where these small confessions or the way they draw it. And it was really, really touching to me. Not to mention the animation of nowadays is so beautiful. Because it's a current one. It's a current, it's a rarely new fairly new anime, mm-hmm. manga, and then the anime has been made this, like, it started off, like, I want to say the beginning of this year. Mm-hmm. So it's about to be finished. The last episode premiered yesterday on Saturday. Oh. So I haven't watched the last episode yet. And I don't know if they're good. The only problem is that with shoujo animes, you never know if they're going to continue them or not. Oh. That's the only issue I don't like, that they don't ever finish them sometimes. But this one is really sweet because it reminded me so much of A Silent Voice. Because it is also about a romance between a deaf girl mm-hmm. and a man. But mm-hmm. they're in, like, college age, mm-hmm. so that helped a lot. They weren't in high school. They were mm-hmm. in college. Still school. Mm-hmm. But it was just, like, I just really like it. It's mm-hmm. so, something about it is super sweet. And it's really about signing and how you never know if you meet, like, this guy. They meet on the train, but mm-hmm. it's just, like, he's so enamored of this woman and how her world is so different from him. Mm-hmm. That he just falls in love with her, you know, mm-hmm. and it's like her as well. She didn't expect to find love or anything, you know, she's completely deaf. Mm-hmm. She can't make or hear sounds really, even mm-hmm. though she wears her two ear things, she can't really hear. Mm-hmm. So, but the way they draw the sign language and the emotion that comes through, it's, mm-hmm. I think it's really beautiful. Mm-hmm. So I really like it. Like, I really like the side characters, the love, the story, mm-hmm. but I love the main couple the most. And I just think it's lovely. It's a, like, pull your heartstrings type thing. And I love stuff like that. So mm-hmm. I love Sign of Affection, and I love the title too because it's like signing, and there's so much signing in it, and there's also so much Japanese, but if you watch with the subtitles, they have the English dub. I was watching English dub, mm-hmm. and then the captions will tell you what, because she has to communicate through her phone, mm-hmm. but they will tell you what she's saying because mm-hmm. she does both. She's signing, but he also learns signing because he loves her. Mm-hmm. So it's like their worlds meshing together. Nice. I really like it, but yeah, well, it's like, if you like a Korean drama sometimes, it's kind of got those vibes. Uh-huh. Plus anime. It's a nice little meeting. I like it so much. I was like, yes, this is what I like. The shoujo that's, like, not crazy. Not where it's like, someone's on Adderall when they made this. All right. My second blurred out is, I actually started watching something last night. Mm-hmm. Just because I couldn't sleep, I was like just up worrying about stuff. So I was just like up for mm-hmm. a long time. And I just started watching randomly a TV show on Netflix called First Wives Club. Oh. And I know there's an original movie from back in the day.
Forever young and free, darling, you don't own me.
Oh, I don't know about that one.
It's from the original movie. It's at the very end.
Yeah, so this one is the black version mm-hmm. because all the women are black. Mm-hmm. And I forgot that's the one with all the white women, right? Yeah,
Goldie Hawn and Bette Midler
and somebody else. I think Diane Lane.
Yes,
or
yes.
Diane Keaton. Diane Lane, I think. Right, okay. Diane Keaton.
Ooh. I can't remember which one.
Yeah, she's one of the ones with the Diane. There's a couple Dianes.
Yeah.
But she's one of the famous ones. All right. So this one's the First Wives Club Black Edition. Mm-hmm. And it stars Sterling K. Brown's wife.
Oh, wife. Okay.
Yeah. Sterling K. Brown's wife and Jill Scott.
I love Jill Scott.
Who is that girl's... Who was that Spanish girl that had her own show, The Thick Something of New York?
Oh, Michelle Buteau?
Yeah, and it was the three of them. They're best friends, mm-hmm. and then life is life. And, like, she plays a surgeon, and Jill Scott's, she's, like, a musician, mm-hmm. but an older musician mm-hmm. who's having, like, a bunch of problems now with her husband being a jerk and mm-hmm. having to get a divorce and all that kind of stuff. And then Sterling K. Brown's wife, who I need to find out her name, sorry, and she plays a high-powered lawyer who, mm-hmm. like, gave up her career to help her husband become a senator because they're doing campaigns, but she's, mm-hmm. like, she needs to go back to being a lawyer mm-hmm. and doing her life. So they're all, like, unhappy mm-hmm. in their marriages and things are not working out. But it was just interesting to watch because I liked... One, it's just the drama. It was just like a simple drama with women of color doing things mm-hmm. in the world. But it was just like, I was just going through and I was like, this is a watch. Like, I could just sit here and look at it and I'm like, it's like not like, oh my God, this is amazing to TV. Mm-hmm. But it was also interesting and I liked it and I love Jill Scott. I absolutely love Jill Scott. I think she's super beautiful. She's just super talented, and I love her face.
As soon as you said Jill Scott, I was like, there.
I love her face, and she gets to sing some of the songs in there under the tracks. But her character is a singer anyway. Mm-hmm. But it was just, it's really funny. They have some interesting episodes and you're just like, this is a, watch, just like a fun little romp about these black women in New York trying to make it with these men that are bothering them in their lives. And they're the wives, but it's like a lot of them are about to not be wives. Like they're about to be divorcees. Like that's what it really is. But it's super fun. And I fell asleep. I didn't get to watch all of it, but I really enjoyed it, Whitney. I did.
Awesome.
And then my last blurt out would be on us going to see the Monet exhibit in DC.
Oh, yeah.
It was so much fun. I liked it a lot. I still, they're both different because they're both, but I just learned so much more about, I felt like I learned more about Van Gogh's life.
Mm-hmm.
But it's probably because he's so troubled. He has so much interesting things happening in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And Claude Monet lived a completely different life, much longer lifespan, much, much like chiller lifestyle. Not all this crazy stuff. He had children, a wife, all this stuff. And Van Gogh did not have all those things. He had all these problems, health issues, mental health issues, especially. Didn't think he was doing well. Claude Monet actually did well.
Mm-hmm.
For the time period. So I guess they just didn't feel like focusing on that stuff as much because his lifespan was so long and he just made beautiful art.
Mm-hmm.
But I really liked the top number one spot will still be the Van Gogh experience just because it was so beautiful and moving. And I learned a lot about him and I saw a lot of paintings. I didn't even know that how much more paintings he had. But the Claude Monet exhibit was just like really good as well. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it with all of you. And again, something about that immersive experience room, I could sit there forever. I don't know what it is. I guess it's the combination of the lights, the projection, the screens, the music. And I just was like, the seating, everything's just so cool. It's still always my favorite part when I go to those, when I see them for the art. Immersing yourself and surrounding yourself in that art. And for some reason, I liked it a lot more than the Isekai that we went to watch.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Plus one on Bola's blurred out. Because I forgot that was after our last episode. But I would agree with you. I don't know. I don't know if they had better projectors or if the wall was just better for projecting. But it was just more vibrant somehow.
Yes. And I wanted to stay. And it was just presenting stuff. It's unlike the Van Gogh one. They were actually telling his life story. There was actually some voiceover work.
Oh, okay.
That somebody was telling us stuff about Van Gogh, not the whole time, but interspersed throughout that 20-25 minute, I think it was 30 minutes actually, that you're watching the stuff about his life. Somebody was coming and telling us about certain things, about where he stayed, where he grew up, and then especially the time when he had the mental breakdown. They were talking about how he stayed in the asylum and stuff. But for the Claude Monet one, it was just the music and then the paintings, and you're just watching everything.
I enjoyed it. I don't know if I would have liked somebody talking.
It wasn't throughout the whole thing. It was just certain parts where they were like, and like somebody did like a little sentence introduction and then you watched for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It wasn't throughout.
I like the vibe of just the music.
Yeah.
Because the music was really just
very soothing.
Atmospheric too.
Yeah. But I don't know why. The Isekai one was also like,
it was cool.
It was very anime-ish. It was very like Japanese pop, but it was just not, I don't know why. I wasn't pulled in. I guess because I didn't understand what was going on the screen so much. And I was like, what's the story here? And I couldn't follow. And also some part like made me dizzy a little bit with the Isekai one.
Oh yeah. I remember part of that, like you said, if you looked at the floor, sometimes you would get dizzy.
Right.
But then I remember the person before we went in saying something about searching for a hero of the blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
And the like screen was like, oh, searching, and there's like a person's face in this thing. I'm like, all right, we've watched it all the way through. We did not find this hero.
That's what I was saying. I was like, who's in? And I think Jane told us, oh, the dragon is the hero. I was like, the dragon? Really? It just didn't make any sense to me, so I did give my comments about Isekai, but the Claude Monet one was definitely, and I love the poster we got, because I was mad, because when I went to Van Gogh one, I was supposed to get a poster because I got a VIP ticket again, and I did not get a poster because all of the good ones were taken by that time. And I was like, come on. I didn't want the almond blossom as a poster. So I didn't get a poster that day. I didn't go home with a poster. So I was just like, But this time we got at least a really nice one.
Yeah.
I really liked the poster that I got, the Lady in the Umbrella.
That's
and I
a
liked
great
learning
one.
About him. And like I liked the exhibit, how they made it more different with the replica of his home. and his paintings everywhere. Mm-hmm. And then the bridge. Oh, my God. The beautiful pictures. they're actually, I'm going to post. If they're not already there, they should be on our social media as a blurred outing. So you guys can see how that, it was really fun. We just had a good time.
It was.
But the Claude Monet exhibit, I think I prefer to just learn and experience the art and art painters and historical mm-hmm. figures that way. I would love to do that again for another artist.
Same. Mm-hmm. I am really upset that Klimt is apparently maybe not coming.
Yeah, because it wasn't
popular. I signed up for the wait list just in case and to let them know that somebody's interested.
Right.
Because I was like, oh, this looks really cool. I haven't seen that movie, though. Was it The Woman in Gold?
Okay, it's really good. You should watch it.
I'm going to have to try to find it.
Yeah.
But I agree with Bola. Like, if you guys, it's still, I don't know how long it's playing. I'm sure it's still going right now, though. And for
the Claude Monet is in D.C. right now. So if you guys go to Washington, it's something to do. There's always something to do in experience in D.C. Yeah, anyway, but yeah.
We highly recommend it. And highly recommend spending the extra money for the VIP because yes. The VR
it was worth it.
So
I loved
cool.
it. I loved it. Yes. I love that surround thing.
And being in the like spinny chair and being able to look up, down, completely around. Yeah. And I'm like, this is amazing.
Although glasses wearers, beware, because if you don't have contacts or like tiny glasses you can wear, it's a problem. You might have to look at it without your glasses on, which happened to me again. I had to watch it without my glasses because my glasses were too, even though I brought smaller ones, mm-hmm. but they were still square frames. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were rectangular frames. So they weren't as big as my usual ones, but mm-hmm. they just didn't fit as well. Next time, I guess I have to get circular ones and see if that works. But I love the VR experience. I'm not going to lie. I really feel like I might need to get a headset and just be doing stuff.
I was thinking the same thing, too. Like, after that, I was like, I might need to get me an actual VR headset. I had no real interest before, but after that, I was like, okay.
I'm telling you, it was something. And I was like, I think I like this immersive. Because I felt like I was on a ride. I'm like, oh, my God, the water. Oh, my God, the the butterflies. I was like.
I just want to make, like, immersive worlds now.
Yes, me too. It's really, really beautiful. So I really like how they did it. I love the pictures, and again, check our social media out so you can see how it was. But yep, that was my last thing to blur out about the Claude Monet immersive experience.
++++++1.
I'm sorry, I'm not blurring. We did talk about Isekai, but I'm not really blurting out about it. I'm just commenting on it.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Interesting. To me, it shouldn't worth that much, but okay. It was $10 off the price.
Let me blurt out. I almost forgot, but then my stomach started rumbling, and that reminded me. I'm also going to blur it out.
Oh, the Zion Kitchen.
Yes.
Oh, yes. The food was delicious. I still need to go and do a review on Google for them. I didn't pick any pictures because I was so immersed in my food.
The food was just delicious.
I had a Zion Kitchen Nigerian immersive food experience.
And that turkey, like, if you guys go there and you get the...
get the turkey.
Get the turkey. The turkey just looks like it's calling to you.
Yeah, it was delicious. The goat meat also I recommend because that goat meat was yummy. And the FL stew, the dry one was just delicious. You had the goosey, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So if you guys don't know, go and try Zion Kitchen in D.C., this Nigerian food. You can see all the food. Try everything if you can't afford it. It's delicious. It's absolutely delicious. And as a Nigerian, I had to plus, like, it was good. I was like, now this is our food, you know? Because sometimes you can go someplace and you're like, this is not as good as my auntie's, this and that. Or this is not as good as mine.
Like,
but I was like, nah, this is good.
Restaurant
close by. No.
I would support them all on my own.
I'm telling you, I wish they would, because it's like somebody was sending me a clip about there was like a DC area pop-up spot where you could get Nigerian food quickly, because they make it like almost like a like how Cava or Chipotle is. It's just there, and you can just kind of like the Zion Kitchen had the food there, and you can just make your plate.
Why not us?
And I
Why
don't know
not
I wish
us?
I wish somebody would just Why go ahead us? And do it. Anyway, all right, so let's get into our review of Denzel. All right, so it is Women's History Month, and we wanted to do a girl power centered film. And then I remember seeing the trailer for this movie, and I was like, oh, I gotta watch this.
Right?
I love the premise, and I just loved how I like the arc of the character, the main character.
Yeah.
Right. My first impression was that it's not a bad, it's like a pretty good film. That's my first impression.
Yeah. It was. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. I want to say, though, this is very much like a woman-centric film. I'm like, these men are just set pieces.
Right.
They're there for decoration.
Right. And I like the overall message it was showing about how, like, a lot of times women are constantly, it just kind of reiterates the issue women have all over the world, where we're, for history has shown, where we're kind of always the ones that have to bear the burden of things, or like Elodie, the main character, Millie Bobby Brown's character, she had to bear this burden. Like, it's not her fault that her nation is, like, having all these issues. The climate is causing famine, everything, but it's like, oh, she had to sacrifice her love, life, and happiness to marry someone she didn't know from some God knows where for the sake of the nation, you know? And a lot of times they put, men put these things on women. So I like that they touch upon this. Or that a lot of times men, like their fathers and stuff, place women in these situations that ultimately harm them.
Right?
Like, so many times, years after year, the parents pick, like, I always look at the Indian arranged marriage thing. And I mean, I know it's a custom and cultural thing. I'm not trying to knock them for it. But a lot of times they don't properly vet these people, and they sell their, it's like they're selling their daughters off. And they're giving them to, like, you know, child marriages, all this kind of stuff, the abusive situations. Yeah. The, some people, because they can't afford their children, they will sell their daughters, the 12 years old or younger, to men to marry. And they're like 30, 40-year-old men.
Oh, God.
Oh, that happens. That happens. And I mean, in Yemen, it's legal. Child rape is illegal, actually.
Oh, my God.
It's legal because if you marry a child off at 8 or 7 or 10, and her husband wants to do, you can't stop them from that. The mom can even, his mother can hold her down, and it's not against the law.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's basically legalized pedophilia that happens in that country. But it happens all over the place where women are not protected. And lots of time it's the people that, the men that are entrusted or supposed to be protecting them that cause them these problems. And I was like, this is just what happened to Elodie. Her father made this arrangement. He knew about all this stuff. And I was surprised to see him come back, though.
And made a conscious, informed decision. It's not like he didn't know.
Yes. Yes.
It's not like they're like, okie doke, we, like, did a bait and switch. They're like, no, we told you about it.
That's what messed me up.
More gold than you know how to do with.
That's what messed me up at the end of it. Because I was like, oh, I thought maybe they just fooled everybody. And their whole family didn't know about this. But when I found out that he knew what was going to happen to his daughter and he still allowed it. Oh, I was heated. I was like, you bitch ass. You deserve what you got, to be honest with you. But I like that he came back and apologized and actually tried to find his daughter. Like, he can't, like, nobody else would do that. Come and fight a dragon
to try to save your daughter.
I love that he came back to do that.
I like that too, because it's the exact opposite of the one who started this whole thing, where he was like, oh, if you spare my life, you can just have all three of my daughters.
Right. And I was like, you killed her, the dragon's daughters, to begin with. I was like, what the hell?
She ain't do nothing.
And I thought, and I didn't know that. And I was like, I thought it was provoked that the dragon was coming and eating their people. So they're like, nah, we're going to kill this thing.
Exactly. Because you don't know when they say, like the, I guess, spirits of the former girls who got sacrificed, like, appear to Elodie, and they're like, it's a, one of them, Victoria's like, it's a lie.
Right,
and you're like, what's a lie?
I'm not going to lie. I was like, what's a lie? What are we following? And then I was like, how is she seeing these things? But I'm just assuming it was all in the air, some magical something, whatever. But, I mean, just to honestly see, Millie Bobby Brown did a lot of this work. She carried the film. It was a lot of work of her by herself.
Yeah.
Trying to survive in that place, like getting burned, falling down so far. I'm like, she could have died just from the fall.
Right?
I was like, I'm surprised her neck is still attached to her head. Like,
exactly.
That fall was long.
Let me talk about that scene, though, because it was in the trip. Like, I had got, I think, like, an email from Netflix. You know how they sometimes, or, like, in the notifications,
they remind you about stuff.
We recommend this. And you're like, okay, I'll add it to my list based off the synopsis. But then they show you the trailer, you're like, oh, damn, that looks good. I was planning on watching Godzilla that night. But I was like, yeah, this looks awesome. But I, when you said that the father was a bitch ass, when the prince, and I think it was Henry or something, starts walking and he throws her off that side, I said, you bitch ass.
Right. And the sad thing was that out of all the girls I think he's done this with or for, it looked like he actually liked her and that he could have done something. He'd be like, no, this one's going to be my wife. We're not going to. He could have saved her. He could have stopped everything. But I was just like, you didn't. That's why I wasn't so mad with him at the end. But I was like, no, you still deserve to get burned like you did.
He
deserved his end.
And he knew he deserved it because he just closed his eyes like, I know I had this coming.
Yeah, I like that. But the mom, and then she, I'm sorry, I have to say this. The mom to me is a symbol of all those women that hate women. Like those women that like, think about that woman that helped Jeffrey Epstein acquire all those girls. Mm. Or the people that do. There are women that hate other women. Mm. And that they don't mind doing these things. They don't mind sacrificing. They don't mind. I was like, that's what she stood for. She was so nasty. So mean. Like, I remember our woman, the stepmother, who was played lovely by Angela Bassett.
I was like, snap, snap, snap.
I'm not going to lie. I thought she almost died. I'm like, they got to let her die in this too? But thank God it was just a stab wound and she recovered. Because at first when they stabbed, I was like, no, they done killed her again. I was about to be like, it's Wakanda 2 all over again. But she did it. And I love it because she was like, these people are not good. Let us stop this. And of course, the husband did what? Not listen to his wife.
Did that. And was trying to like make sure she didn't say anything to the girls. Right. Like, what you talking about, though? What you
talking about? Patriarchy was all over this film.
Right?
And I'm
you know, it's kind of interesting because to a certain point
it was. And misogyny.
But to a certain point, it also wasn't because like Robin Wright's character, which Robin Wright, you guys might know her famously from The Princess Bride. She was.
She played an awesome evil queen.
She does. She plays like a kind of evil character very well because she was also in House of Cards as Kevin Spacey's wife. And she just played that role well. And she played this, like, evil queen role really well here, too. But I was looking, because I'm, like, looking at the king and queen, and I'm like, this king ain't saying hardly nothing. Right. I'm like, is he just the consort? Is she the queen? Because I don't see here no words coming out of him.
Yeah, and then she was trying to justify it. I'm like, how can you justify this? You're a woman as well. Like, you can literally look at all these women coming through, these young girls, and you just dashing their life away.
Right?
Like, without letting them know anything. Like, oh my God. Like, and I was like, what made it worse was that they had multiple women in there. Like, for that, like, it was like that whole weekend. They were like, oh, we just go off and find women from all over the place. And it was like another girl was there for the same thing to marry the prince.
So they don't know what goes on in our kingdom.
Right. And it was like, oh, that family was there to marry the prince that one day. The other family was there to marry the prince the second day. I was like, what the hell is going on here? It's like, I was like, are they marrying? Because remember when Elodie saw the other girl in the window, I was like, who's that girl? And then you find her dead later on. You're just like.
Just like,
and I was like, wait a minute. So he married her too, or he had to. So I was like, y'all are marrying them back to back without letting them know. That's really effed up.
Really,
I was mad at the prince too. I was mad. His name was Henry because I love the name Henry. And I was like, bitches, get out.
He was a sucky person.
Yeah, he was men that stand by when women are getting complicit.
But at least he had a slight bit of redeemability because he knew he was wrong. Well,
I wouldn't call it redeemability. I just was like, I didn't feel as bad about his character as I did for the rest of them.
That's a good,
when they were like, okay, since Elodie escaped, we're going to take her sister because we still need to sacrifice three girls.
Yeah. And he's like, she was like, no,
we need to stop now. So that part made him redeemable to me, where he tried to stop it. And then they just pushed her down there. They just pushed little Flora down there. I was like, she is small. She's like 11 or 12.
Right.
What are y'all doing? And the mom was like, you're weak. And I'm like, wow. It was like the misogyny for her towards other women. Cause she's like, I don't care about them. Even you saw how she treated Elodie's stepmom. She was like, we don't need more family. And I was just like, wow.
Right.
You can't even pretend to be a kind person. Like,
you could just,
she just looked down on them completely. And I just thought she was, oh God, just dreadful character.
Yeah. But it was just, it was
the king didn't do nothing either.
Yeah. It was just interesting though, for the fact that she seemed to run things.
Right. Right.
Cause even when like meeting with Elodie's father, it wasn't the king wasn't even in there. She was let me talk to you.
Right. Right.
Like he was just off somewhere reclining with his crown, I guess.
It was almost like the king, it's almost like the guys were just complicit and they were like, we know this is happening. We know what we're doing, but because we need the kingdom to keep running, we need the dragon to just be at bay. I was like, let's get into this. So one of the things I didn't like about the film was, it was fine because the dragon was a main character, even though we don't know what the character's name was. I don't know why I had an issue with the dragon being able to talk. I don't know why.
Really?
I don't know why. I just didn't. I was like, no, why is the dragon talking to them? Like, it just, I was like, no, this needs to be a regular animal.
And I think I loved the voicing of the, who voiced the dragon, by the way?
I don't know. And the voice was good. Yeah. And it was a woman as well, but...
And I love that it was the female dragon too. Like, this was all women all the time.
And I was like, well, wait a minute. If you were able to have three more, where are the male dragons so you can just have some more? Why are you taking them every year? Like, that's what I didn't get. Because it seemed like centuries passed and they kept doing this.
They
and
did.
I
was like, because that's
why
the
were
deal
you doing it every time?
Made. Because she was like, nope, this is a. I think it's because that's the deal they made. But if they had stopped, like, she probably would have just burned the castle down and that would have been the end of it. But she was like, nope, you made this deal. This is what we going to do.
Every year, though. I was, but or like, who knows was how like, often it was.
Their, but it's also a thing of like, this is their entire line. Like, she wanted their line. Mm-hmm. She didn't want anybody else, but they did the whole mixing mm-hmm. of the blood to make it appear like it, they were part of the family. Mm-hmm. But she was like, no, y'all did this. It's mm-hmm. y'all. All y'all is a problem.
I was not happy with that part. I was like, okay, once you had his daughters, it should have been settled. Your daughters, his daughters. Mm-hmm. That should have been settled. So I was like, perpetuating this for years didn't make any sense. I was like, somebody should have came to an agreement or somebody should have fought the damn thing. I was like, there was nobody here. Like, how come this girl that came from somewhere else came and almost killed the dragon for y'all? But still
because,
decided to save the dragon.
Misogyny. They say, oh, it's just daughters. That's mm-hmm. fine. If it's just three daughters, they're not sons, so it's fine. We'll
right.
just
and that's
keep
so
on.
And that, but that's how we are. So I like one of the things that up this move from is for the wide metaphor of the treatment of women throughout history.
Mm-hmm. And a woman's value
in society. Yes.
In society.
And it was like they didn't value. And then it was like, I love the fact that it was redeemed in the end by both women, or well, the female dragon and Elodie. Mm-hmm. becoming like friends mm-hmm. at the end, and she was like, okay, I'm just gonna roll with you. She became yeah. the queen of dragons. And I was just like, oh, we got Khaleesi number yeah. two over here, because they were both lied to, they were both wrong, they were mm-hmm. both put in this situation for no reason by men. Mm-hmm. And I was like, ain't no point for y'all to kill the thing if it was talk. I'm like, why y'all just talk everything out? Like, why would y'all kill her dragons? Like, I don't, there, none of that was elaborated on, which I was like, I really would have liked to see a little bit more, to be honest.
I think
but
it was just straight up, you know how humans can be. It's right. like, oh, it's a dragon. It's probably going to cause issues, so we're just going to go ahead and go and kill. Oh, baby dragons, kill them, kill them, kill them, stab, stab, stab.
And I was like, kill the vile thing. I was like, why don't you kill the mom first? Try that first, because you know she's going to come after you. I was like, y'all are stupid. Anyway, the whole thing that they did was so dumb. And I was like, if it was unprovoked, and my thing is, if the dragon could talk, then y'all should have had a conversation. If she was not bothering y'all, y'all shouldn't have left them alone. Hmm. That's what I was like. That's why I thought, oh, the dragon couldn't speak. Mm-hmm. That's why I would have loved to leave it there. Because to me, it was like, if the dragon actually spoke, then y'all should have had a conversation. It shouldn't have been stab, stab, stab for no reason.
Well... In her defense, they didn't make any time to see if she could speak. They were like, stab, stab, stab.
Yeah.
And then she came. They're right. like, oh, you talk to you. It's yeah. like, oh, we already then stabbed all your children to death.
Right. Oh, man. It was so messed up. And then the way she killed all those guys, like, she just crushed them. Oh, the way she killed the father was, like, really, like, oh, she, like, stuck her claws up in there and was like, ah, and it was, like crushed them. I was like, damn. But I love that the father came back to try and get her. But
I did love that.
She just really was a strong girl to survive and endure and mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. And I was just like, for them to make a drawing on the wall, the women really tried. Like,
and I want to say one thing in Elodie's father's, not exactly defense, but mm-hmm. something that makes him, like I said, that much better than the original king mm-hmm. who started this, is he did it out of obligation mm-hmm. to his people. He's like, my people are starving. This is the only way to save them, to get mm-hmm. enough gold. He was like, that's why I did it. Whereas the other father, he was like, I want to save my own life.
Right, right.
So I'm going to give my daughters up, mm-hmm. and that's going to be that.
Right.
And he was like, I couldn't live with it. He was like, Elodie's father was like, I couldn't live with it. Like, I thought I could. I can't. I came back. The other dude, like, that is such a little bitch-ass thing to do.
Right, right. Talk about hate. No, like, you have three daughters, and you have to give them all up. Oh, Lord. That was terrible. So what else, what were some other parts of the film that you liked or disliked?
I can't really think of anything I disliked, to be honest. I think it added something that the dragon could talk, because the kind of cat and mouse that was going on when Elodie was like trying to survive, when the dragon would talk and be like, oh, where are you, little bird? Mm-hmm. Like her calling, like giving her a nickname, little bird. I was just like, it's interesting. It's not exactly sinister, but it's like it gives like an extra amount of fear to Elodie because she's like talking she can't to her. She's like playing with her.
You're so right. It was just off-putting to me because most of the films I see where there's dragons involved, mm-hmm. they can't talk. Mm-hmm. So to me, it was off-putting that she could talk and she can hear. I was like, oh, what the F? So I was just like, and then I started rationalizing and be like, well, if she could have talked, why didn't some discussions happen before all this stuff went down for so many centuries?
I mean, if you kill my kids, then I'm not getting to talk to you.
And then I was like, how many centuries was she alive that she couldn't have any more kids? So I just went there with it.
Now, see, that's a good question. Like, where did these kids come from and why?
Because then it could have assuaged her anger. And I was like, so you mean during the line, none of these princes, none of them tried to solve this issue where they would have to, like, I was like, no other intervention was done so that this could be prevented for years, mm-hmm. for generations, centuries. I was like, centuries later? Oh, so y'all were just killing little girls for that long? Come on. But it just, of course, that's what happens in real life.
And I want to, like, come back to something you said earlier about, like, it's messed up that it went on for centuries. Because apparently that was the deal that was made. Mm-hmm. But also, I wonder if part of it was like, oh, y'all so selfish that you willing to keep giving me your kids? That means that y'all are still the little sons of guns that you were when this started. Because if you're willing to do this, then you're still the shitty people that you were at the beginning.
So yeah, I remember the dragon was saying that she's like, your kind deserve to die. And, all that, and I was like, she got points. Because humans are terrible.
And I'm just mad, like, at the end, when the dragon comes and Elodie's like, I'm going to give you one chance to run. And none of the nobles ran. I'm like, y'all stupid.
I know.
So this big dragon with the fire and stuff that y'all been trying to appease for centuries, and you think that you're just going to be good against it?
And then she was looking at, like, she was like, and the queen was like so defiant. And I was like, what you about to do?
What?
How you going to outrun some fire? I wish you would.
Right.
And I loved watching her crown melt on her face.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
And then the sun just was like, I deserve this.
Yeah, this coming. Definitely had this coming.
And the king, they didn't even, the king was useless.
Right? Did he have a line?
No. Not even one line. So you knew what happened there. She was one of those, she was wearing the pants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hate to say that, but she was the one in charge of the situation. So I was like, all right, so the queen is in charge, not the king, because he just didn't care. He was just not there. He was even the prince was like, I have
he
to go along with
arm
this.
Candy.
Yeah, I was like, you have no power. You're about to be the like, you no other diplomacy, no other solution, no other things. Where you just like, I have to go along with this constantly, marrying these women, faking with them, and then throwing them in the thing.
And see, I also wondered about that because I'm like, is she the one from the line or is he?
I wonder too.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah, because I think it's her line now that you say it, because she cut from when Flora, because when her son refused to do it, Flora did it, and Flora she then mixed the blood there so it could be, you know, mingled up and seem like it was a royal bloodline.
Because
remember, he refused to do it. What I would have liked to see was, because I'm not sure if the prince played along with this for how long. So what I would like to see is if they kept cutting his hand.
No.
I would have loved to see that.
That's
so,
a good point, though, because
I wondered.
I think they must have used his other hand for the first girl, since Elodie was the second, and there was three. But, like, that's interesting what you said about
the
mother.
But I wonder if they kept doing it. Like,
no, I think it was once per generation is what they said. So, like, the mother, like, his mother probably had somebody they had to do it during her generation. So it's not, like, every year. It's, like, every generation.
Oh, okay.
So once he does his three, his children would have to do it.
Oh, I know. Okay, so that makes him even, that kind of lifts him up in my eyes a little bit too. So it was just like, he probably just didn't know what the response was to deal with this because it just happened.
Yeah, and it only happened a couple days before with the first one.
Right, oh man, that's a little bit of a trauma, especially for him to do as a young man. And then he's like, oh, once this is over, I can marry whoever I want. I'm like, Elodie just came out of the, I had to give kudos to Elodie because once that chick got out, I was like, yes, girl, you did it. You got out of there. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But then she went back in for her sister. I was like, damn, that's some sister love right there. Because
right?
She was like, oh, no, you're not going to take my sister.
Right.
She became Xena Warrior Princess. And just what I was like, how she just, I just love how throughout her journey there, you just see the stripping away of that dress.
Yeah.
Even the hair. She cut all the conventional beauty things off. And she was using them to survive. And it was really interesting. I liked seeing that.
Yeah, it was really cool. I like the little glow-wormy things.
I did, too.
When she woke up, she was like, ah, they're all, I mean, they're like
I
little.
And they were healing her, and I was like, thank you, Lord. Because even in the stressful situation, there's the boon of help. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yes.
But I was so upset. I'm like, girl, like when she first found the glowworms and she was like opening her mouth up to get the water from like the ice above her. I'm like, girl, are you not seeing this change in light? Mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. I can see the light changes. Are you not seeing you the light changes?
I'm sorry. I was like, this kind of place, you got to be on. Mm-hmm. Even if I was like getting a little shower in, I was going to be getting a shower with my eyes open. Because I was like, girl, you don't see that the drip drip is changing in pressure and how in frequency? Like, it's coming down faster. What's causing that? Let's look. I was like, how she keep her eyes closed that long? I'm not gonna lie to you. Some of the stuff I was just like, there was one of the things. There was such a from the very beginning. I feel like the filmmakers did a good job with mm-hmm. this particular part. There was such a sense of foreboding, mm-hmm. you know, of mystery and ominous presence throughout the whole film. Like, it was mm-hmm. either the music helping or even when they first came and the dragon thing was mm-hmm. there, I was just like, wow.
Oh, yeah, that was.
Because like, it was creepy. I was like, oh, my God, the dragon's already here.
Yeah,
but it was just the statues, and I was just like, y'all not getting these vibes already? Mm-hmm. I would have been like, nah, we bouncing. Like, that's why I love the only black person just like, we need to go.
Right?
And they didn't listen to her. I was mad like crazy. I'm like, see, we know what we're doing. We bouncing when we see this stuff. We're not staying.
This is not a good idea. I know I said it was looking great before, mm-hmm. but I was just because it was pretty, but I'm saying we need to go. Oh,
you know what I kept saying when I was watching this? Everything that glitters is not gold. I kept saying that while I was watching because like this place looks beautiful. It looks picturesque. Mm-hmm. It looks opulent and amazing. And I'm like, underneath is dead babies, dead girls. You know what I mean? Mm. Just dry bones, disgusting, evil thing. And I was just like, that's how it is, you know? Because every time, even with these marriages and people, they're like, oh, this is a good thing. This is a good thing. And you don't know the wickedness of the person that you're selling your daughter off to that you don't even know. You didn't vet. Or you knew this thing about him and you kept it quiet because you're like, yeah, he can do what he wants. Because sometimes they know that. Sometimes some people tell them, oh, this man is abusive. This man will harm your daughter. Mm-hmm. This man has a bad temper. This man's an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. But they will still choose to be like, oh, you have to just deal with it.
She be all right.
Yeah, that's what they do. And so it's like knowingly some of them do that and put their daughters in harm's way with these kind of issues or selling them off to people who like, you know, to put them in sex trafficking or use them in terrible or kill them. You never know. Mm-hmm. So I love the metaphor of how women are harmed by the people they love close by and the everything that glitters is not gold. Mm-hmm. That you think this is awesome. You're getting dowry price, especially that dowry stuff in some of these rural countries. Mm. That dowry is what they be doing sometimes to sell their daughters and stuff. And I'm just like, women, we are worth more. I love how she told the other girl, you need to run. Mm. Get away from these people because I'm about to blow it up. That was my thing. I love how she was like soaking in there like, I've been through some shit. And I love how she just looked at the Henry with disgust. She was like,
yeah. I'm back, bitch.
Yeah, and he was like, I can marry you now. And I felt bad because he was like, you could tell he liked her out of all the ones. He might have been faking, but he was like, I like this chick. I think I like her, I have to kill her.
He's like, she's interesting.
Right, because he looked like, you're bad. And I was like, stop.
Yeah.
Just stop.
It's wrong, but I feel bad for him as well because this is who he was brought up by. Mm-hmm. Like, he wasn't really given a chance to be better.
You could tell he had a conscience and a better temperament because he seemed more unnerved and more, he seemed more unwilling to participate, even though he did, but he seemed at least unwilling, where the queen just was like, no, we doing this. Mm-hmm. This is what we do. Like, she's like, I don't know what your problem is.
But it's also like it's more complicated for the fact that, like, she framed it as this is what you're doing for your people.
Right.
But it's like, and I could see how he could be guilted into that because he's young. Like, this is what his parents have been telling him his entire life.
This is what they've been doing for generations, right.
Like, this is how we protect our people. But it's like, it's interesting because they told this lie to not just themselves. They've told it to everyone.
Right.
Like, they attacked, the dragon attacked first, attract the villagers, and this is what we do. A dragon did not, they would have taken out your bloodline and probably left other people alone.
Right. And that was the thing. And again, it goes back to the whole metaphor of, like, what happens to women, too. It's like, they lie to them, you know. And it's almost like looking at it like, some of this abuse and things that women endure is culturally made. It's like, oh, this is what you're supposed to do.
Ooh,
as a woman.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the Indian widows. I don't know if you ever watched the movie Water. Have you ever seen this a long time ago? Didn't we watch it in our class for...
I think we did. We watched Fire and Water.
Right. And Earth. Well, I watched Earth.
I can't remember if I watched Earth or not. I don't
think they did a Wind. I just think they just did those three. Earth was about the partition of India and Pakistan when the British left. But Water was about the widows, and Fire was about something else. I can't remember. Fire was about something other, some other issue. Mm. But I remember Water distinctly so much because it was the first time I had learned about child brides and widowism and like what they do to the women. Just like just the amount of blame and shame and everything that is the woman's fault when the man dies. And it's like, why is my supposed evil eye the reason for this man's death? Like, why do I have to endure a life of like squalor and like destitution to pay for this man dying of something I didn't do? Like, they immediately said it was the girl's fault when they're fought. Well, one, you marry a child off to a 40-year-old man, and then it's her fault when he dies first. That was the main part of the movie, was that the girl became a widow and she was still a babe. She was still like under 10. You know what I mean? But she became a widow. She was married and then she became a widow. And it was so disturbing. And I was just like, wow, these women have to be in this kind of situation. They are like, basically, they're forced to be beggars. They shave them. They don't allow them to live life. And then one of them was being sold off because she was beautiful. She was one of the widows, so she was allowed to grow her hair so that she made money for the ashram so that the women could eat. And so they would sell her off to men so that they could. And I was like, this is ridiculous. But it was a cultural thing that they did. This was part of their history, part of their culture, part of their religion. That, oh, when if you're the widow, you if your husband dies, you're the fault. You have to live like this as penance or whatever. And I was just like, this is such robbing a woman of her life. It was, I was like, man, for generations they've been doing this, and they still do it in certain places. They still do. That's what I remember. That's what we were reading on the movie. How many women were, especially in this one city, Varanasi, I think is where they were, near the river. They still do it. And you're just like, how many women's lives are robbed and taken from them because of this terrible cultural practice? And it just made me think about that in the real world, about how some of this stuff is, it's generation, just like in the film. They were doing it for generations. And it was like, oh, this is just culturally what this kingdom did to save themselves, and they were convinced, oh, it's for the better good. It's for the better good. Although with the widows, I don't see who's good is for. But they just have to have they have to have some kind of caste set up. They do. These people are the cause. Oh, we don't know why this person died, and it's such a terrible thing. When a man dies, somebody has to be to blame. So it's the wife. The woman is the blame. Yeah, it's just terrible. So that made me also see that, what you just saying that about, this is something that they culturally did, that it's just like they're roped into it because it's a cultural construct that we also need to like really think about what we're doing. I like that Elodie changed the cultural concept. Like, not only were she destroyed the place where they were doing it, but and she got with the, like, she talked to the dragon. She made it, like, I really like the decision she made.
It was an act of mercy because she could have just killed the dragon.
And she did that whole little fire thing. I was like, ooh, you got her with her own fire. You're bad, you know?
Yeah, she could have let the dragon die, but she was like, no, I'm telling you the truth, and now I'm going to heal you because they lied to you. They made you bitter and vengeful and stuff, but...
And then she took that dragon everywhere. She's like, I'm traveling the world and I'm bouncing, but with my dragon though. Because I was just like, yo, she really going to be like the scary one for so long? I was like, so is she just going to roll with you? Okay. Because she was the last of her kind. So I'm just like,
there's nothing for me here. She's like, my kids are dead. I don't need to terrorize them anymore because I burnt them all up. So time to bounce.
And I like the comeuppance that people received. But I just like that she, and it took a woman. And lots of times I feel this when it comes to like political things and the world, especially here in America, where they just will not allow a woman to lead this country. And I'm just like, sometimes it takes that, like a woman to stand up and change, you know, like let's have something different now. Because none of them came up with another solution. None of them like survived and was like, I was like, I would, if I survived that thing, I would never go back in. I mean, I love my sister, but I'll just be like, ooh, Lord, she might have to be barbecued. Because I don't want to deal with that again. I reject that, but I would think about it because I was like, I don't want to deal with that trauma again. Mm-hmm. What happened to her was trauma. Like, you were, most of the movie we were watching the trauma of her trying to survive.
Yes, like burnt up and stuff.
I mean, the fire was coming at her, dropping, falling, injury. Like, she was screaming. Like, I was just like, first I was like, this is very uncomfortable. Like, she's going through it. She's going through it. You know what I mean? Most of the film is her going through it, mm-hmm. trying to survive this place. Like, I really thought she was going to die at the crystal climbing wall thing.
Oh, I really thought she was about to... sharp crystal. I was like, dang, that looks like death waiting to happen. Mm-hmm.
Or when she was getting the icicle shower, I really thought something was going to happen to her then. I mean, she did get burned several times.
Yeah.
But for her to show that mercy and change, she's like, I'm changing the narrative, I'm changing the story. You're not going to take my life. I'm stopping this practice right now. Make I love that part.
Change.
I love that part. So for that, I had to give her the kudos to the Elodie character. She was good.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else you want to say about the film?
I just want to also touch one more time on just what a light Angela Bassett is. She wasn't there for that long in the movie, but Angela Bassett she just has a presence. And it's just like, even for like the short time, she just has such power in her presence. Right.
Even when she's not saying anything, she's saying much. Mm. Like all the time that I was watching her face, when they were all her scenes, and I was just like, yeah, not trying to listen to a black woman. Like, I see how y'all doing. Stepmother. And I was just like, okay, you going to see what's going to happen. I was like, she warned y'all. She's like, let's go home now. Mm-hmm. We don't have to do this. Give them back their gold. We can bounce. Like, we'll figure something else out. Mm-hmm. But they were like, no, we're gonna continue. Okay, see what happens. But he knew. And I was just like, oh, that messed me up. Because I was like, when I heard Elodie, I was like, who in there knows her? Mm-hmm. I thought maybe the prince came back to save her. I really did. But when it was her father, I was like, so that nigga knew? You know? So bad. I was like, so you knew? And I don't blame her for not going out there that time.
Heck no. She's like, I'm trying to stay alive.
I know. She wanted to stay alive, one. But at the same time, I thought she didn't go out there because she was just mad with her father, the fact that he sold her off like this. I don't know why. That's what I thought. I might have been wrong.
I don't think so. Because she was like she's when she came down, and they were like, Elodie, and she's like saying to her health, she was like, be quiet, she can hear you. I think she was trying to survive, stay alive. She ain't gonna reveal her. That's who the dragon wanted most.
Right. And I'm glad he apologized before he died and that she got to receive that, because you need so much healing to do that, because like a lot of times it's hard for women to forgive their fathers because a lot of them put them in these situations or they don't do what they're supposed to do or you know what I mean. It could really, especially if you like somebody who really loved your father so much, you're like the apple of his eye or daddy's girl type of thing, and then you're like, my dad did this to me, my dad sold me off, my dad, you know, like it's really a betrayal. It's hard. So I'm glad that she got to receive that apology at least, so that she could, you know, it helped her move on.
Yeah.
It helped her move forward, you know? So I'm imagining that she like whatever was left of that place, she like, we gonna take all this extra gold and just, cause she's like, we've got more than enough supply. When they were leaving and stuff, she's like, we got more than enough supply. I was like, oh, so y'all just like pillage the place. I'm cool with that.
Right.
I was cool with that. I was like, take whatever y'all can to y'all area, please, because these folks don't need it. Anyway, are you ready for the review?
Let's do it.
All right. What are you reviewing it, Whitney? What are you giving
it? I'm actually going to give it an 8. 8 glasses.
All right. Okay.
I thought it was really good, solid movie. I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
And I love the girl power in there. She is popping off.
I enjoyed the film a lot. I don't think I can give it as high as an 8 as far as film. I love all the themes and things that came out of the film. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to give it 6 glasses and a monocle.
Okay, all right.
Give it 6 glasses and a monocle.
Let me do some math here.
Right. This is what we're doing now. This is what we're doing now, Whitney.
That adds up to an average of 7 glasses and a contact lens. 7.25.
All right, y'all. So when the film gets a 7, it's a good watch. Like,
it is.
7's always a solid film.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like amazing, but it's not terrible either. So when you get a 7 solid from us,
it's a good one.
It's a good one. It's a watch. Yeah. Watch it at least. So just again, happy Women's History Month. Yes. Just, again, we want to thank and honor all the women that are trailblazing in their lives, in the field, and work.
Yes.
And just what women do every day for all of us is amazing. We're awesome.
Let's cap this with a Beyonce. Who run the world?
Girls. We run the world, girls. All right, everybody. Have a great, great beginning of spring, and we will see you guys next month.
Right.
And always, blur it out. Bye. Thanks for listening to our podcast. Please subscribe to our show on whatever podcast listening app you use and share the show with other blurred and non-blurred family and friends. And if you like this episode, please subscribe to our email newsletter at blurredtalkbw.ck.page and also rate and review our show on Apple Podcasts.
Intro and outro music is Twilight by Caption. You can find them on SoundCloud, username Caption spelled CAPSHUN. Show notes by Ola Hansen, audio engineering by Whitney Booker.
And don't forget to get social, you guys. You can email us at blurredtalkbw@gmail.com. And our social media handles on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok is at blurredtalkbw. And our YouTube channel is youtube.com/@blurredtalkbw. And we've got our individual things going on too. You can find the Triple F Queen on Instagram at Triple F Queen B as in boy. And my YouTube channel is youtube.com/@TripleFQueenB.
And you can find me, Whitney, at Luminabi Studios, my company. And the email address is wit@luminabi.com, spelled wit@luminabi.com. And you can also find me on Twitter at Luminabi Studios.